and made you a child of the living God. He made you special in His sight. He made you eternal inheritors of His kingdom. And none of us deserve that. Jeremiah 18:1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. We need to hear a word from God, church. Not a word from other people, but we need a direct line that we hear from God again. Because when God speaks, it's like no other word. God can settle us. God can establish us. God can calm us when nobody else can. He calmed the seas when the storm was raging. A word came to Jeremiah, and this is what we need today for us and for those around us. And that's what I pray for this generation. God, they need a word. They need to hear your voice through all the confusion, through all the stuff around them, through all the hopelessness and the darkness. They need to hear your voice. Because when your voice sounds like thunder, it gets their attention and they know that they know they've heard from you. I've heard from God. God speaks. I've heard Him many times in my life. You've heard God speak. Maybe not in a way that Moses heard Him speak, but we hear God. Mainly heard God through a plastic Easter egg. Heard a word from God for her that day. And how true that is, right? Prayer brings success. And we're not talking about success of being a millionaire. We're talking about it brings breakthrough. It brings accomplishment. It brings a battle that's raging to a victory for our lives. Prayer is a breakthrough. And God was going to use an example for Jeremiah to show him a revelation. He said, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." The potter's house. God was going to take something earthly, as He did many times. Jesus did this many times in the New Testament. He would take something earthly, something tangible, and make an example for others to see. So the first point I see in this verse is we got to be where God wants us. Arise and go to the potter's house, because I got something to show you. See, I can't show you what I want to show you. Hear me, church. I can't show you what I want to show you where you're at. You've got to go somewhere else. You've got to get to another place, another dimension, another plane, another spiritual. You're not hearing me because you're not where I want you. I'm not talking about in the way you're living your life, but I'm talking about go to a place where I can speak to you. Get into a place where you can hear my voice again clearly. So many times God will shift us into another place that we can hear His word. Because sometimes we're just too comfortable. And sometimes we get too distracted. Sometimes we're not where God wants to speak to us at. He says, arise, go to the potter's house. That's where I'm going to speak to you. And I'll give you my message. So I went down the potter's house. And I saw him working at the wheel. Now this potter's house was a place, of course, they made clay pots and made stuff, created stuff. And they would have a couple of wheels in the bottom of this that would turn. The potter would take his feet and mash the wheels, and that would make the thing spin. And then his hands, both hands, would be free to shape the clay in whatever mold, whatever image the potter wanted to make, his hands were free to do that. It's time we let God's hands be free in our lives. It's time we allow God's hands to be upon our lives in such a way that sometimes we're trying to place God's hands where we want them. How many of us have said this? We've already got the solution. Figure it out and tell God how to fix it. Lord, here's how you know, God, if you just do it this way, if you maybe in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning, you could wake my child up or my friend up or my whoever up. Wake them up and maybe through a thunderstorm, speak to them in the audible voice and come into the back window in white raiment with a big halo light and say, my son, I am Jesus. Sometimes we try to do that, don't we? But God's got His own way of working. And church, He doesn't need one thing from us except faith. Just faith. God, do it your way. because your way will be the right way, and I'm only going to mess it up. So he's at this potter's house, and he's seeing this man work on the wheel. Verse 4, Brandon, go ahead. The pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Messed up is what that means. How many lives are messed up? Messed up because they have no salvation in the Lord. Messed up because they have no hope in their heart. They have no direction for their future. They have nothing, and they feel marred. They feel like a mistake. They feel like a nothing. They have no identity. You know, when you go through your teenage years, identity is a big deal. When I went to North Iredale, we had different sects of people, different groups. Different groups of people that you would try to fit into. And then you had the oddball group, and you had the group that you had all these cliques. We had the rednecks, right? We had what we called the rogues, the black leather jacket and zipper and pants and all that. Had that group. You know, then we had the preps, had the nerds, had the jocks and the athletes, had the band members, whatever. You had these groups. Where do you fit in? Without knowing who you are in Christ, you have no identity. You don't know who you are. You've lost it. My favorite Disney movie, y'all know this. What's my favorite Disney movie of all time? Lion King. My favorite scene in the whole movie is when the witch doctor monkey finally finds Simba. And he's out there living his life, living the hippie life, right? No worries, no cares, Hakuna Matata. I'm not going to take any responsibility for my life. I'm going to live with a warthog and a weasel-looking thing and just do my thing and live my life. But the little witch doctor monkey found him. Come here. Come here. What? Your father's alive. Your father's alive. He is. Show me. Come here. And he leads him through this little journey and gets him this body of water. And he throws his little staff down, his little coconut shell thing, whatever, and does this, stirs the water. He says, look. And the image of his father appears in the water. And he hears his father's voice. James Earl Jones, best voice in the world. Hears his voice. Simba, remember who you are. That scene tears me up at my age every time I see it. Because it's such a life lesson that Christ is saying, remember who you are. I died for you. I rose for you. I sealed a place in the kingdom for you. I birthed you. I breathed life into you and made you a living soul to created you to worship me. That's what you're made for. Remember who you are. And all of a sudden, when Simba heard his father's voice, it all began to come back to him. Yes, I have a kingdom to rule. I have a place. See, Simba was not in the potter's house. He was somewhere else. But he came back to the potter's house. And when he was at the potter's house, he heard the word of the Father. And Simba made that journey back and claimed the land that was rightfully his. Church, we have a land flowing with milk and honey that is promised to God's people. A land of prosperity, a land of peace, a land of joy, a land of hope, a land of strength, a land of power, a land of certainty that we have through Christ. But we got to remember who we are. And I've never seen the epidemic of what I'm seeing now. And I'm like, God, we need you so much to show up and to show out. Reminding the generation, yes, there's still a living God who can change any life at any moment if we say these words, Lord, I'm yours. But we got to say that, Lord, I'm yours. The clay was marred. So what did he do? Did he throw it away? Didn't throw it away. He formed it, the same marred clay he took. He didn't throw it away to the side. He kept it. And he formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. He didn't throw us away, church. There are no rejects. It's simply we got to allow God to shape our lives. God, mold me, form me, use me in the way you want me to be. Because I don't have the ability or the wisdom or the understanding to make anything out of my life apart from your wisdom. So you take my life. God, you take my hand and just shape me, God. Form me to be whatever it is you need me to be. Maybe you're battling weakness of faith. You're just, I know how that is, church. You get battles and battles and battles. You get weak. You get tired. You get weary. And you're like, God, I can't keep going the way I'm going. And God is saying, just let me take over. Church, we're the clay, and he is the potter. We cannot form our lives any better than allowing God to form it for us. Because God sees around every corner. What looks so hideous today could be a breakthrough tomorrow. What looks so impossible right now could be a miracle story next week if we allow God to be in charge and not us. But I know it's hard, especially when you're parents, no matter how old your kids are. It's hard. You know, I know Doc's always, you know, with Dave and Dee still, they're grown, always, you know, worried about them. And, you know, you talk to them about them, you know, call them up, talk to them, you know, encourage them. You know, they're in their 20s. Man. You know, well, okay, all right. But let God do it, Doc. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Because when the Holy Spirit, see, it doesn't become real in your life if you don't allow God to do it. God's got to do it. I don't believe in salvation by guilt or salvation by fear. Well, not by guilt, I should say guilt. What I mean, you can't shame someone to getting saved and it be real. God's got to speak to the heart. God's got to draw by his Holy Spirit and make someone recognize, Lord, I need to be yours because I'm not right now. And when that moment happens and we cross that line and say, yes, Lord, I'm yours, then our lives begin to change. Next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Here's what God told Jeremiah. Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. Let's process that thought just for a minute. Are you not like that potter? Are you not clay in my hands? Do you not trust me to shape, to direct, to appoint, to form your life in the best possible image that I can? Is there any greater artist than me? Any greater worker than me? Any greater potter than me? There's not. So God, I willingly give you my clay. Things that are holding me back, God, shape them out. Things I need to go, shape them in. God, I want to surrender my life. And I'm talking about even after we're saved, we still hang on and try to do things our way instead of letting God just do it. Man, God can take that life. He can take, think about all the times God has kept you or your children, your family, people you love from harm when danger was all around them. But God kept them. We can't keep each other safe. I can't stop any accident of my family. I can't stop a tragedy, but God can. God can stop them all. God can throw his hand of power and mercy up and say, no, not this one. No, stop by my name. And every form of evil has to bow the knee. That's a God I trust. That's a God that I trust. We're in very turbulent times. There are, I said this several years ago, it really has gonna pass now. It's not in maybe the way that it will be. But I said many years ago that we're going to see another civil war in this nation. But don't be like the first civil war. It's a civil war, demonic control, Christianity, unbelievers, cultural shifts, all of this colliding, trying to disrupt, derail our lives. But we must choose a side and say, Lord, I trust you. Whatever hell may try to come on this earth, God, my hands are in your hands. You take me because I'm yours. God, I know what your word says. I am sealed by the Holy Ghost to the day of redemption. And so, Lord, I'm yours. No matter what rises or what comes, you're able to keep me above the fray. You're able to pull me out of the miry pit and set me again on solid ground. As David said, God, my enemies surround me, but you're able to scatter them away from me. And God can and is and will continue to do that for his people. There's no doubt. Our enemies weren't like David's. People aren't trying to kill us with swords and spears and take over our country. He was king. But our enemies are all the principalities, spiritual weaknesses in high places, all those things that are fighting against us. And it's time we say, Lord, I'm yours. You are the potter. You're in control. And God, I give you my life. I give you my thoughts. I give you my children. I give you my marriage. I give you my finance. I give you my health. I give you all that I could possibly give you. For without you, I would not breathe right now. My heart would not beat right now. You are the giver of life, and only you, God, can do that. So I give you all of me. See, surrenderance is hard because we have to swallow our pride. Surrenderance is hard because we don't want people helping us because we want to do it ourselves. But we can't do it apart from God. We can't. They can stop prayers from schools and they can do this. I know it's a Christian graduation. There was no prayer said at her ceremony. Two college graduations, no prayer was said. It's like, wow. No prayer said at this wonderful event. Not even a generic prayer. Not even a whoever's up there. Whatever you believe in out there, thank you for getting us through this year, and may your hand of whoever they believe in be upon these kids. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, nothing. And I'm like, the absence of that presence of God in our daily lives is what allows the enemy to come into our hearts and take us to places we don't belong. It's that absence, church. It's that absence of the presence of God, that absence, that emptiness of not allowing him. Because if we don't allow him into our lives, then we allow everything else into our lives. And lives are broken because of it. Go ahead, Brad. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict it on the disaster I had planned. Repentance. God wants us to turn our hearts to him. Church, there's no magical life after salvation. I've never preached that. There's still struggles and there are still problems, and things hit every family. Sickness, death, storms. I mean, they hit us. But God is saying to Jeremiah, as he's talking to Israel, if they'll just acknowledge their sin, if they'll just acknowledge, God, we need you. Yes, Lord, we're going to turn from our ways to your ways. Then I'll remove my hand of destruction. And I'll pour upon you blessing. But we understand, church, that we are saved by grace. It's a gift of God. We understand that. But at the same time, God still, you know, Jesus says that, and I've taught on this verse before, Jesus said that all sins are forgivable except the unpardonable sin. That's been a whole doctrine taught off that unpardonable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You know what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is? It's rejection of the truth that God speaks. How can we be saved if we reject his truth? There's no other way. Because Jesus set the pattern in place. All men must come through me. There is no other name by which we shall be saved but that name which was given, Jesus Christ. So there's one way unto salvation. And if mankind rejects that one way, there is no hope of forgiveness, because that's the only way. We need the Word of God to speak into our lives. We need, like the egg spoke to Melanie, that was the Word of God. We need those moments in our lives, God's Word speaking to us in our moments. God, what would you have me do? Listen for his voice. And if he says, arise and go, we arise and we go. Say, Lord, maybe I'm not in the right place to hear you. Where do you want me to go to where I can hear you? Because I'm going to tell you, the most seasoned Christian can sometimes have a hard time tuning in. The channel's fuzzy. Because when we get personally attacked, and the devil knows what buttons to push, he knows what can distract us, what can derail us, what can push us down to where we don't hear like we used to hear because we're so overwhelmed by the problem. Your life may feel marred right now. It may feel a little messed up and it has no form, it has no beauty. But let God just do something with it. God's not going to throw it away. Just say, Lord, I'm yours. Just take it and shape it and make it something beautiful in your sight. Make it beautiful. The most precious moment of any human life is when a broken life crosses the bridge of mercy and finds Jesus. You know, me and Carl back there were talking before service tonight, and Carl's got an incredible testimony. I may have him share sometime at the church the parts he wants to share, but he's got an incredible testimony of a road he was on as a young man. A road he was on of destruction, a road of darkness, a road that could have killed him. But something happened in his life one day. He was at the potter's house. The Word of God came to him and spoke a word of life into his life. And from that moment on, Carl Scapero was changed. Changed. His darkness gave way to light. His sorrow and burdens and stress gave way to peace and joy and hope. Where there was no hope, hope now lives. Because God didn't throw Carl Scapero away when he was on a bad road in a dark place. He just simply took the same clay that's here tonight and just reshaped it and remolded it and breathed into it and says, you're not going to end up like you look now, but I'm shaping you for something greater and something more. Glory to God. And here he is today, many years now, as a saved, seasoned Christian. God even done one up on him. God even poured the prayer language into his life to where he prays in the Holy Spirit. This was a man before hopeless. A man that didn't want to live. And now he knows what he's living for. Beautiful. Many of you have testimonies like that. And you look in the mirror now and you're like, wow, look what God did. Look where I was and look at where I am now. All because you said, Lord, I can't do it no more. I give up. I give in. I'm yours. And God took that same life that rejected him, that defied him and made him something for himself. He didn't throw Saul away, the apostle Saul, later named Paul. He took Saul's life in a moment, transformed him. And Paul became the greatest church planter of his time. We are reading scriptures and words from Paul from 2,000 years ago. A man that cursed Jesus, a man that cursed the movement of Jesus, a man that cursed the people that followed Jesus, a man that was so full of hate and so full of rebellion and so full of anger. But in a moment, the potter's house showed up and the light shined down and transfigured his life forever. And Paul, when he went to his knees, was lost. But when he came up, he was found by the grace of Jesus. All because God wasn't done with the clay. Man, our clay can look ugly sometimes. You know, we did a demonstration one night a few years ago. If you remember, I gave some of y'all some Play-Doh. Had you make different shapes with it. Be creative with it and see what you would shape out. As an example of how that's our life in God's hands. We see someone that's lost, but God sees someone that he can find. We see someone that nobody wants, but God sees someone he loves deeply. We see someone that we don't want to be around, that's a castaway, and God sees someone that's going to work for him one day. That's what God sees, because his eyes are different than our eyes. Our eyes judge on the outside, and God sees us on the inside. God goes beyond the skin, the tattoos, the piercings, the rebellion, the swearing tongue, and the lying mouth, and the vicious heart. God sees through all of that and sees a creation that only he made. And in that creation is beauty beyond measure once God touches it. We need to experience that touch of God again in our personal lives. America is angry right now. Our nation is angry right now. People are so confused and they're so mixed up. People are growing up with no respect for authority, no respect for rules, no respect for earning anything. They're growing up not knowing if there is a God or if he is, where's he at? Or we're in a very confused time. But man, when God touches our lives, it's like, you know, we've always told our kids, you know what? We trust God. We're in God's hands. I'm not worried about what happens with this or that. I mean, of course we're concerned as citizens, but you know what? I can't stop ISIS, but God can. I can't stop someone breaking in my house and hurting my family, but God can. I can't stop violence and hate and prejudice, but God can intervene. And God can change a heart one at a time. In this world of confusion and anger, and it's almost on a boiling point. I mean, we got protesters in this political campaign just on edge and just violent over something that, you know why that's happening, church? There's no peace inside. Man, when you got peace inside, you know what? Look. Whoever's in charge of the country or whoever does this, you know what? God's in charge of me. That's all I care about. God's in charge of me. I belong to him. This is not my kingdom. I got to live here for a while longer. But you know what? I trust God. I trust God more than I trust anybody else. And Lord, I'm in your hands. My family's in your hands. My life's in your hands. My money, everything, God, I'm in your hands. And I trust you with my life. Next scripture. If another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. Last verse. Therefore say the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. I don't know about y'all, but what the Lord says is still pretty important to me. And what the Lord says is still real. And what the Lord says is still going to come to pass. And what the Lord has done is done forevermore. It cannot be undone. For what the Lord says will come to full completion. For not one word uttered will go not unfulfilled. It has been spoken. It has been done. It has been declared. And all the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what the Lord says. And I trust him. All this stuff about, well, the Bible, da da da, and how do you know that? All I know is this, church. And this is what you need to tell people. You want to make them mad? All you need to tell them is this. But the Lord said. But the people wrote that Bible and it's been translated. How do you know? But the Lord said, brother. They'll get away from me real quick if you start saying that kind of stuff. But the Lord said. See, I believe this Bible is what the Lord said. and it's more important than any other words uttered. When the Lord said, let there be light, guess what happened? Boom, the bulb came on. When Lord said, let there be seas, boom, it happened. When the Lord said to that little widow woman pouring that oil, only had a little bit of oil, and said, get all these empty vases, the Lord just kept on saying. He kept on talking to her. The last vessel was filled, and then the Lord was silent. It's done. But the Lord kept on talking. The Lord kept on speaking through those five loaves of bread and two fish and five loaves of bread, whatever one was, spoke to them. As they hand those baskets out, here, the Lord spoke, here. Lord spoke, fish, 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 bread, bread, bread. The Lord's word was so active and so alive. Here's what the Lord's word does. The Lord's word speaks things into existence that wasn't there before. Glory to God. That's what it does. It speaks things that wasn't there before. Makes no sense. The disciples were out fishing all night long. They were good. They were a Joe Brown of their generation. They knew how to fish. Had all the fancy late dormant equipment, the finest boat and the finest rods, finest bait. They knew what they were doing. They did it for a living. Fished all night. Jesus says, launch out in the deep and drop your nets. Oh, Master, we fished all night long. You don't understand. Nothing's there. Not yet. We fished all night, Lord, and nothing is there. But nevertheless, at your word, we will drop them. And the minute they drop those nets, the Bible says they begin to be filled with fish so much they begin to drag the boat down and need help getting back to shore. You know what happened? Those fish weren't there. The fishermen knew what they were doing. They weren't there. But boy, when God spoke it, what wasn't there became there. And in our lives, church, we may not see it now. It may not be there right now. But it doesn't mean it's not going to be. Because God is a creator. God is a maker of things. God is a giver of life. And just because it's not here yet don't mean it's not in the plan to be here at an appointed time. Learn from the potter's house and say, Lord, I'm yours. Take my clay, take my life, and mold it into what you want me to be. And we may need some patience and some faith to endure the storm we're in. That's okay. God, give me that right now because I don't have it. And I'm going to tell you, there's times we all face that. We feel like our faith has dropped out of the bottom. Because when things hit us personally, it takes a toll. We've got to remind ourselves, but God, your word said this, and it doesn't lie. So I trust that. I believe that. See, I don't have to see God in the flesh before me, talking to me, to know that I'm serving a living God. I know I am. I know there's a kingdom of God waiting on me. I know that when my breath leaves this mortal body, there is no doubt I will be in a place that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, foot's not touched yet. A land that God has prepared for me. And man, that hope of the future can give me peace for today. The potter's house. Lord, I'm yours. I want to hear from God. I want to see God. And I want to let God have all of what I have. Lord, I'm yours. We struggle in life. We struggle with weaknesses. We struggle with issues. And without God's help, there's no hope for those to be resolved. But with God, there can be healing. With God, there can be deliverance. With God, there can be breakthrough. And in this generation that's changing, is shifting so fast. So fast. I stopped at Arby's this morning, and I know the manager up there, and got me something to eat this morning. She told me, said, they play K-Love music in Arby's. And she said, we had a customer complain about the music and said he wanted a corporate office. We should be playing that kind of music in the restaurant. Go call and complain about it. And everybody's got their right. I'm all for that. But I'm just saying, what did that invoke inside of a person that just music playing in a restaurant invoke someone to the point they want to call home office about it and complain. It's music. It's a song. You know, it wasn't preaching. It wasn't some preacher on there. You're going to hell, Mr. Guy walked in and got a big deluxe roast beef. You're going to hell. It was singing. It was songs. But you know what happens? Ooh, the devil don't like that. Man, the devil don't like that. Because the power of God touches the depths of hell and rattles the cages of every demonic force. Because they know they have lost the war. And man, you can tell people sometimes it'll rise up in them. You can feel that spiritual warfare. You can feel that demonic force in their lives rising against you. Don't you back down. You stand your ground. And you remind yourself who you belong to. I'm part of that army, God's angel army. And I'm not going to bow the knee because you don't like it. I'm not going to bow the knee because you're whining about it, because you can't deal with it. I'm going to stand for my God, because it's going to take His anointing to break the yoke of the bondage that many people are in. Because people, so many are chained in darkness, and they don't see a way out. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Because there's an absence of the very thing they need, and that is a living God inside of them. But man, when we have that presence, we can call upon the Lord, and He's never failed. When I'm serious, I mean. And there's times we just half pray. All of us do that. We half pray. We say a prayer. We go through the motions. But there's never been a time that God failed to answer me when I got serious, and I called upon the name of the Lord. And I said, God, I need some help, and I need some strength, and I need some hope. I need some peace and some certainty. God doesn't usually show us the answers of what is to come, but He sure can calm us while we're waiting. And that's the beauty, that He can just calm us while we're waiting. I want to ask you tonight, Marge, don't you have something planned to sing here in just a second? I want to open the altar tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. Don't normally do that, but God just led me earlier today to do this tonight. To have a time of prayer tonight at the end of the service, that you say, you want to say, Lord, I'm yours. I give you the situation I'm in, this battle that I'm facing. I really want to leave it here tonight. And it doesn't mean we're not going to have to still deal with things in the future. But that we leave here tonight with a new found peace to say, okay, God, here's my clay. I lay at your feet tonight. I can't do anything about the situation I'm in. I can't change one thing. I'm powerless to make anything different. But I do give it to you tonight. I want to open that up tonight. Marty, sing a little something. If you need to pray tonight, come up here and talk to God.
Give myself away.
All my dreams.
myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away.
No battle's going to change that either. That's the good news. No storm and no battle is going to change our position in who we are in you. We belong to you, Lord. And we thank you for that assurance. I pray in this place we leave here changed by your presence. That we leave the marred clay here and say, God, start working. Start shaping and start doing. And I'll trust you with that. Because I know in the end, the finished product will be everything that you have planned in the very beginning. And I thank you for that. And we give you praise in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.